When Christopher Hermlin moved to New York City, he lived like countless other jobless 20-somethings. No prospects, no money, and rent due at the first of the month. But instead of kicking around in a cafe, he hit the streets with a $10 typewriter and a sign printed, "Stories While You Wait." Sliding scale, donate what you can. And it worked. Passersby paid him to write one-of-a-kind stories on the spot. While he isn't the only person to make his living like this on the streets of New York, he is the one person whose photograph showed up on the internet. We're going to let him pick up the story from there. So, Christopher Hermlin, the roving typist, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I guess your troubles began when this photo of you showed up on the internet. First, describe the photo and what you thought when you first saw it.
Well, the photo is, it's of me typing on the High Line, and it's from the side of me where you can't see that I have a sign. So I think that that's where the problem started. And I'm wearing, you know, summer clothing, which is short shorts and a gray shirt, which was mostly because the humidity in New York is absolutely insane. So I was definitely, oh, and I was wearing shoes without any laces. So all of these things put together, plus my $10 Royal Safari typewriter on my lap, did not have the greatest, like, combined effect, I guess. The morning that people told me that it hit the front page of Reddit, I was like, ah, shoot, I do kind of look insane.
Well, Reddit users had a pretty cruel response to the photo. What were some of the things that they said? And keep in mind, you have to make them safe for radio.
Oh, you know, get out of my city. And that's edited, was the one that seemed to be the most prevalent response, as well as, you know, just sort of hipster scumbag was the other sort of popular rallying cry.
I never wanted to fist fight someone so badly in my entire life, was one comment on Reddit. Why do you think it produced so much online ire?
Well, I think it tied really well into the internet's hatred of hipsters. I was dressed in a way that looks hipsterish, I suppose, although a lot of people think that the clothes are very expensive for some reason. Mm-hmm. The clothes are really down market. Like, I think I'm wearing H&M clothing, and I think I bought those shoes at a thrift store. So I don't, like, there's just like a lot of implied things by what I was doing, that I was a hipster, that I was part of this social movement that co-opts other social movements and pretends like it was their own and that they got there first. And I think that that is what people responded to. It didn't have a lot to do with me. It was more to do with what I represented and what I was wearing.
Okay, so how long did this brush with internet, I guess, infamy last?
Well, you know, it's a year and a half later and I'm still talking about it.
Well, it looks like it disappeared pretty much from Reddit in about 12 hours. But somebody made a meme that said, you know, you're not a real hipster until you've taken a typewriter to the park. How did people who you know respond to this? Because it seems like it keeps cycling around.
My friends were really excited, actually, just because I was everywhere for a little bit on Pinterest boards and on Facebook. And people were sharing it amongst my high school and my college, just like, oh, do you remember this guy? Like, here he is showing up again all over on the internet. So my closest circle of friends were trying to figure out ways for me to, like, capitalize on it. And I didn't know how to do that.
You didn't know how to do it? I mean, you're talking to me on the radio. You've talked to a lot of different people. I mean, let's face it, Christopher, a lot of people look for this kind of attention, right? They'd love a photograph of them to go viral in the no press is bad press kind of thinking, you know, it doesn't matter if it's not that flattering.
That's true. I knew I wanted to write about it in some way, but I didn't know how to actually do it. I don't write a lot of nonfiction myself, and I rarely ever talk about myself other than through, like, the various gradations of fiction writing. So I think I was just sort of scared to actually put my thoughts about it onto paper, because I think it would make the whole experience real and I'd actually have to figure out what I thought about it, when I was doing a much better job just brushing it off and pretending like it didn't matter to me and then going home and reading more comments.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Could you help yourself but read these comments?
I couldn't. I know that it's a compulsion at this point, and I'm definitely better at it now. But back then, you know, that was the first time I'd ever had any response to anything I'd done online in that way. So I couldn't stop reading it because it just because I wanted to know what a majority of people who didn't know me thought about me. I think that that would be a human response. I don't think that that's totally crazy.
Right, that we drive stakes into our hearts one comment at a time.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, Christopher, if somebody walked by you and said, "Hey, roving typist, tell a story about me. I'm a guy who had his picture on the internet, went viral. Everybody seemed to hate me. I'm living with it now." What's the story sound like?
The story sounds unbelievable, to tell you the truth. It just seems sort of like it's just seems sort of insane. Every time that I retell it, I start to feel like it sounds less and less real. So if someone asked me to write that story, I would be like, that is a great imagination. I did not know that like it could take so many turns.
Christopher Hermelin, the roving typist, thank you for telling us your story.
Thank you for having me.
Christopher became an object of internet ridicule after a photo of him went viral online. He wrote about the experience on theall.com, and we do have a link to his website where you can order your own one-of-a-kind story at wordofmouthradio.org. Well, we've heard plenty today about the internet's power for good and evil. It is, of course, a reflection of the human beings who use it. Here at Word of Mouth, we look to it as a tool for exploration, wonder, and communication. And that means with you. You can find us at Word of Mouth on Twitter. You can find us on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, and find convenient ways to hear or share stories on your own time and get in touch with us at wordofmouthradio.org. After all, stories are best told via word of mouth, and we would love to hear yours. I'm Virginia Prescott. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 with more Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by
Taylor Quimby,
Logan Shannon,
Bill Berry,
and Zach Nugent.
Our intern is
James Pouliot.
Digital support from Rebecca Lavoie
and Sarah Plord.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR, its board of trustees, or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcasts and listen to past shows,
go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook and Tumblr at Word of Mouth Radio.
Follow us on Twitter at Word of Mouth.
And check out a playlist of music from the program on Spotify.
Word of Mouth
is a production
of New Hampshire Public Radio.
Yeah.